Hello, hi, and welcome to another special edition of The Emma Gunn Show, this time brought to you in collaboration with Elizabeth Arden. This episode, I'm very glad to say, features a returning guest, the brilliant Dr. Dendi Engelmann. Long-time listeners will remember that her last visit to the podcast was to take us to retinol school. And in this episode, she's telling us everything we need to know about vitamin C. That's right, why it's a gold standard topical skincare ingredient, how to use it, when to use it, how to incorporate it into your skincare regime. And she also shares what she thinks is the perfect skincare regime for everybody listening. Unmissable, that's what I say. Now, I've been using vitamin C probably only for about a year now, and I feel bad saying that because I know I should have been using it for longer. I mean, listen, I'm going to let Dendi do the technical stuff because that's her day job. But the top line about vitamin C is that it's a powerful antioxidant that can neutralize free radicals. And because of these antioxidant properties, vitamin C aids your skin's natural regeneration process, which helps your body to repair any damaged cells. It's basically a good one. It's one of the ones dermatologists, in conjunction with retinol and SPF, it's the one that comes up time and time again as the topical ingredient you should be using. So Elizabeth Arden has launched the Vitamin C Ceramide Capsules Radiance Renewal Serum. And because Dendi is their consulting dermatologist and was back in London recently for the launch, I asked her if she would tell me everything that we needed to know about vitamin C, just so that we were on the right page. We were starting from the right place when it comes to how to use it, how to layer it, and all of that kind of stuff. And I always adore my conversations with Dendi because she just makes everything so simple and really easy to understand. And I always come away from these chats with her feeling as though I know how to look after my skin better than before, which can't be a bad thing, right? And I really hope that's what you get out of these conversations too. We had an excellent chat. I think so. I fangirl Dendi a lot. She's very cool. And she really did lay it all out very simply. And as long-time listeners will know, she works out of her practice in New York, so it's not often that she comes over to the UK. So I hope you feel, as I did, better informed now about vitamin C than you did before. And I'm really glad that when she does come over to the UK, we're able to fit these conversations in because they are so valuable. We also talk about those Elizabeth Arden vitamin C capsules, but I'll let her do the talking on that one and explain why it's such an exciting and interesting innovation in terms of using vitamin C topically. After our chat, I'm going to be back to talk about the 5 vitamin C products that are currently on my radar, the ones that I've used and the ones that I enjoy using and the ones that I think are worth knowing about, including those new capsules from Elizabeth Arden, which I have been using religiously since my chat with Dendi a few weeks ago. I was very lucky to get some samples pre-launch, so I had a bit of a preview, and I have been using them consistently every single day. So stick around to hear a little bit more about what I think about those. I'm really delighted to have Dr. Dendi Engelmann and her expertise back on the show. So here she is making a welcome return to the podcast. It's Dr. Dendi Engelmann. Well, this is so incredible because friend of the show, Dr. Dendi Engelmann, Elizabeth Arden's consulting dermatologist, is back. Welcome, Dendi.
Thank you. So happy to be here.
You can come back anytime.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to have you on the show. You've been on previously. We talked all things retinol. Mm-hmm. And you are a glorious, safe, gentle, kind mine of information about all things skincare.
Thank you.
And skin. So just, I know a lot of listeners will be tuning in and thinking, yay, Dendi's back. But just for those who may be new to the show or new to you, would you just explain what you do, what your day job is, and why you're such an authority on skincare?
Sure. So I'm a dermatologist in New York City. I also am a skin cancer surgeon. So I did extra training in a specific type of skin cancer removal technique called Mohs surgery, M-O-H-S. And in my fellowship, I also did procedural dermatology. So a lot of lasers mm-hmm. and different devices in order to treat various skin conditions. And over my career, I've thankfully had the opportunity to consult with different brands mm-hmm. and help with research and development and really identifying either skincare ingredients that are necessary to bring to market or certain skincare trends mm-hmm. that we've identified and helped to develop different products for. And so Elizabeth Arden has been one of my favorite brands I've worked with, and I've been working with them for the last 4 years.
And it's important to say you work with skin on the daily.
Yes.
All the time. Mm-hmm. And you also, you come at skin from a very scientific background, from you see the impact that topical ingredients have. So you are very clear about what benefits can be reaped from a really good skincare regime, right?
Yes. And I think historically, we as dermatologists, we're masters and experts in skin disease. Mm-hmm. Not all dermatologists were trained in skin care. Mm-hmm. If in our traditional teachings, that's something that you got very little exposure to as residents and during our training. And so it's been something that has been an interest of mine, and our patients see us as experts in skin care. Mm-hmm. And so we need to become that if we don't have, you know, the traditional training. Mm. And years ago, honestly, there weren't great actives. I mean, there was prescription retinoids that were for acne that could be quite harsh. And the sunscreens weren't that great. We hadn't developed topical antioxidants. So the evolution of skincare has been something that's been amazing to watch. Mm-hmm. And so such a joy to be part of. We're living in a good time for skincare.
Really, really so much so. So much innovation. And we will come on to that. But last time you visited, we had a full back to school on retinol. Mm-hmm. And it was amazing. I learned so much. And actually, one of the other ingredients, like retinol, that I think a lot of people are curious about, because they know it's another one that gets held up by dermatologists as a gold standard because it works, mm-hmm. is vitamin C.
Yes.
So we are going to go back to vitamin C 101.
Okay.
So just very basic level, how does it work as a topical skincare ingredient? And what are the main functions of vitamin C?
So vitamin C is a topical antioxidant, and what that means, we always throw around antioxidants and how good they are for the skin, and free radicals are bad, mm-hmm. right? And so people understand that concept, but if you want to think about what's happening on a cellular level, I often like to just make the analogy to the cell membrane mm-hmm. being a zipper. Mm-hmm. And when we have ultraviolet radiation or sun exposure or pollution exposure or various toxins from smoke in the environment, it releases free radicals, which are just an unpaired electron that then goes and basically unzips the cell, causing premature cell death. Mm-hmm. Antioxidants insert themselves into the zipper, into the cell membrane, and prevent the unzipping. And so that's a very easy mm-hmm. kind of dumbed down analogy, but just to think about what the antioxidants are doing. It's cytoprotective, meaning it's protecting the cell mm-hmm. and helping it to resist damage that could be caused by the environment. And vitamin C is one of the most potent and powerful antioxidants that we have. And we get benefit from ingesting it orally, mm-hmm. and we get benefit in the skin by applying it topically. And mm-hmm. so it does help to protect the cells from environmental damage.
Because I think when a lot of people, myself included, hear the word protection when mm-hmm. it comes to skin, I'll immediately think of SPF.
Yes.
But vitamin C is, how did you describe it? Listeners, we've just, Dendi's just done a talk. And you said it's a safety net,
yes.
which I loved.
Yeah, it's nice. It's there to catch what damage is filtered through, because even the best sunscreens, if you have the best mineral blockers that are very high SPF, they still allow about 1.4% of ultraviolet light to penetrate through the skin. And so there is where the antioxidants are going to be to help kind of catch all of that extra damage that could be occurring, even though we're doing our best to protect it with SPF. Mm-hmm. And so it is a nice safety net to have underlying the SPF in order to help protect from free radical damage.
And so if I wanted to add vitamin C to my skincare regime, I couldn't just go, yeah, I'll try it. Mm-hmm. Why would I, what would be happening to my skin that would make me a good candidate to use vitamin C? Is it something I should be using anyway?
Yes. I tell everyone, you know, it's not always formulaic, and things that not all skincare is created the same, and people's skin conditions may necessitate certain ingredients over others, but most everyone can benefit from a topical vitamin C in the proper concentrations. It isn't particularly inflammation inducing. It's very well tolerated. If you have very sensitive skin, you may want to make sure that it plays well with you. But I, even patients who are like are prone to sensitivities or have rosacea, they still can use a topical vitamin C. And I love it for two reasons. One, because it's protective against sun damage and accelerated photo aging. because 80% of aging is from the environment. We all think that it's intrinsic and it's genetic, but really the vast majority of aging is from the environment you put your skin in. But it also helps to prevent hyperpigmentation. And so people who have sunspots or photo damage or age spots, you know, they'll come in, or melasma that's hormonally mediated, they are really bothered by that and they want ways to go about correcting it. And topical vitamin C is a great way to do that. It works on a specific enzyme called tyrosinase, which is part of a melanin synthesis pigment kind of creation. And if you inhibit the enzyme that creates it, then it's going to decrease the melanin production.
So you could be using it from the first time that you start like investing in skincare or using skincare, but then perhaps as you get older, it might be something. Can you spot treat?
You can. And in some concentrations, you know, it can be exfoliative, almost like a peel if you use vitamin C in higher concentrations. So some people do use it just specifically on spots. But the good news is it's not going to lighten existing skin. Some people ask that, you know, like hydroquinone could lighten surrounding skin. It doesn't really discriminate between your normal pigment and hyperpigmentation. So you have to be careful that way. But in vitamin C's case, it really just helps with the discoloration and uneven skin tone or specific spots. So you can either spot treat, but most people like to kind of have a diffuse application.
Now, one thing about vitamin C is because it is an effective ingredient, it is an antioxidant, but it is an exfoliant at different concentrations. You can use it in the morning, but you can also use it in the evening. But is it a could you use the same concentration in the morning that you use in the evening? And what are the different applications, and what is the difference between applying it in the morning? What is it doing then, and what is it doing in the evening?
Yes. So the morning application is more for protection from environmental aggressors, sun, smoke, pollution. And at night, if you, I would say really the best patient type to, or skin type to put that in, is someone who's prone to hyperpigmentation. So you're using it almost as a treatment there for the discoloration or uneven skin tone. But if you have even skin tone, then you probably just need it in the morning.
What does hyperpigmentation look like?
Some people, especially melasma, if it's hormonally mediated, they'll either get hyperpigmented, what we call patches, meaning flat areas that aren't raised, on the forehead, the cheeks, or above the upper lip. And patients come to me all the time and they're like, when I take pictures, it looks like I have a mustache. And we can get that also in pregnancy. It's called cholasma, or the mask of pregnancy. It almost looks like you've got a hyperpigmented mask on your face. And that's all from hormonal fluctuations. Certainly women who are using oral contraceptives can be more prone to hyperpigmentation in that space. Or if you've had a fair amount of sun exposure, you might just get brown spots. We call those solar sun lentigines, which are just dark spots. And that will age us. It makes you look older than you, maybe even your physiologic age. And so we often, when patients come to me and they want to look younger, that's where I start to even out the skin tone, because that's a very easy way to look better and more youthful without having to undergo procedures or injectables and different things that way.
That was really interesting what you were saying earlier before we started recording about if you use Photoshop to add age spots to somebody's skin, the perception will be that they are older than they actually are. But actually, when you think about anti-aging, whether you like or don't like that term, it's a good umbrella term. You think about wrinkles, or you think about skin smoothness more. I definitely think that they take priority. But for you, your starting point would be about evening out the skin tone and then working on texture and structure.
I do. Especially if people are new to the aesthetic space and they don't know what they don't like when they look in the mirror, but they just want to look more youthful. And so that's an easy way to just get comfortable in the space of like evening out skincare, skin tone, helping to improve their skin's appearance and make it look healthier and more youthful. And then we can address other areas of wrinkling and textural change. But I think before we jump to needles, I always want to make sure that they have good skincare implemented.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes perfect sense. If I start using, or if somebody listening to the show starts using vitamin C for the first time, How long will it take them to see results, and how will they know it's working for them?
Yes. And that's another thing that I love. I mean, in a world, especially being Americans, you know, everybody wants something yesterday. Yeah. And they are not willing to wait at all for any results. Mm. The beautiful thing about vitamin C is basically when you put it on, your skin already looks brighter and better. And so in the perception studies that have been done with some of the newer vitamin C's that are available now, patients will report, the vast majority of them will report that their skin looks brighter and more even and more luminous within day one of application. So that's very compelling because that really incentivizes people to keep it up. But then in the long-term studies, you really see true change in the skin after 8 weeks of use.
Okay. So in terms of an ingredient like retinol, where do you put in terms of importance?
Yes. I think, honestly, when I tell patients, you know, these are the three ingredients that are non-negotiable that we're going to start to incorporate into your skincare, it's vitamin C, sunscreen, and then vitamin A at night. So sunscreen and vitamin C in the morning, and then a retinol at night to accelerate cell turnover. They do work very differently as far as what we're trying to address, but they work best used in tandem. So it's hard to say what would be the most impactful if we just had to take one ingredient to a desert island.
It's more the fact that if retinol is seen as a gold standard, hold vitamin C in the same kind of regard.
Yes, agreed. I mean, if you can do nothing more than those three, because in the world of skin, you know, especially when we follow K-beauty trends and they've got like 16 steps to their, you know, the triple cleanse and the essence. And I mean, it gets a bit exhausting, even for me who is a beauty, you know, beauty junkie. But if we really want to dial it down to like the non-negotiables, those are the three where we start. And I think that that's a nice thing. So it's not so overwhelming because if we start with like, here's your cleanser, here's your toner, here's your essence, here's, you know, people are like, whoa, I don't know when and where and what order to put all of this stuff on. And so if we wanted to say, here are the real workhorses and then whatever you like beyond that, by all means, we can incorporate. But sometimes it's also good to get back to basics and why we're using what we're using.
Well, listeners will know I stripped back my skincare massively just before I turned 40 and haven't looked back. So I am very simplified. But can you overstress your skin? Can actually all of those steps be detrimental? Can it just be a bit too much?
Yeah, I think that we certainly know that there are some ingredients that don't play well together. And so they can either be counteracting one another. And that's just a waste of time and money if you're putting two things on that counteract their effects. And two, if we had topical vitamin C, topical vitamin A, a glycolic that, you know, it may be over exfoliative and then we're compromising the skin barrier, we're disrupting the microbiome, and we're not keeping our skin at the healthiest state. And that can accelerate aging. If we have underlying inflammation where you keep beating it up, because I have so many patients who love to peel and they're like always buying these things on Amazon. And I'm like, just stop. You know, we need to just support the skin to behave as healthily as it can, but don't disrupt it. Don't be chronically inducing inflammation.
Yeah. And inflammation being, how would that look or feel?
Oftentimes it will look red. You know, we talked about the, you want a glow, but you don't want like a rosy red glow of like inflammation. And there is a difference between a dewy, luminous look and then something where you've literally just like beaten your skin to pieces. And I see that patients will come in and they're stripped down and
your glow should sound like,
Yeah, exactly. So certainly it looks red. And often patients will feel like it's a little bit more sensitive. If you have a product that you use and all of a sudden it stings in the morning, then that means that you probably need to back off of one of your steps. And often, you know, retinizing the skin is a process. And if we are using a retinol, especially one that's strong or a prescription retinoid, we need to be mindful of things that don't normally sensitize us that make us feel red or stingy, then you probably need to just back off of some of these steps for a couple of days and allow the skin to reset.
You've reminded me of the reason why I originally fell in love with you, which was bringing retinize to my vocabulary back on the other show. Now let's talk layering, because we've sort of danced around it a little bit. And in my Facebook group, a lot of people ask questions about how to layer skincare. And because we have individual ingredients now, mm-hmm. more understanding as opposed to just pots of cream mm-hmm. and a serum mm-hmm. that is multifunctional, it's understanding when and how to layer products together. And you've touched on the fact that perhaps some efficacy can be compromised by layering certain ingredients together. So particularly with vitamin C, mm-hmm. how best to layer in the morning and then in the evening?
Yes. So in the morning, I always say apply that first on clean skin, and that will allow for good penetration. Vitamin C is a bit of a tricky molecule. It's quite unstable. Mm-hmm. And you want to make sure that you're using one that's well penetrated and is actually going to get to the levels of the skin where it can mm-hmm. be most effective. That will go on first on clean skin, and then you would apply a moisturizer or a hyaluronic acid or some kind of hydrator, and then your sunscreen.
Is there a kind of cleanser that you shouldn't use? So, for example, should you not use a balm cleanser that might leave an oil residue on the skin? Would that impact on whether the vitamin C could then penetrate?
So if you're using a water-soluble vitamin C, then it certainly could impact the absorption because water and oil don't like to mix. And if you already have an oily residue on the skin, and we know that the skin is rich in free fatty acids.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So ideally, you want the formula to be oil-soluble so that the vitamin C can penetrate deeper and be more effective. And if you're going to be going through the steps, you might as well use the formula that works the best and is best penetrated.
Yeah. So what would be your preferred type of cleanser pre-vitamin C?
I like balm cleansers. I think that those are great. I think they feel nice. They don't strip you of your essential oils that are in the skin and free fatty acids and all of the good things that, that maintain the skin's barrier. I tend to use the balm ones at night because it helps to take off my makeup. In the morning, sometimes I just tone. Honestly, I don't often go through the whole cleansing process again, but I just want to get my night products off.
Yeah.
And so I would say that you can use a gentle cleanser. I wouldn't use, especially if you're new to vitamin C and you're already using a retinol at night, I would be mindful of not using like a glycolic or a lactic acid cleanser at first, just to make sure that you're not introducing too many things at once that may be potentially irritating.
Right. Okay. And what would you put SPF straight on top of vitamin C?
Mm-hmm. You can.
And what factor do you think is great for daily use if people can find it in a formula that they feel works underneath makeup?
For sunscreen, I mean, my rule is always the higher the better. I mean, all the dermatologists, I think that the American Academy of Dermatology mandates that their recommendation is no less than SPF 30. Mm-hmm. I tend to like City Smart a lot. I wear SPF 50 daily because I live in New York City where there's pollution, and that has the pollution shield and also has antioxidants in it. So there's kind of the triple threat there of like coverage. But I would say at bare minimum, if you can get an SPF of 30, that's really good. And I do like it to be like a separate step in your routine, because so many people are like, oh, it's in my makeup, it's in my foundation, it's in my powder. And the studies really show that you have to wear anywhere between 7 and 12 times the normal amount in order to really convey the SPF that's on the bottle. So nobody's going to do that. So it's fine if it's an incremental bonus coverage, great, but you're really getting about an SPF of 2 if it, you know, if you have a 15 in your powder. It's not really that impactful. So I don't want people to be lulled into a false sense of security that they're really well covered when they aren't.
Right.
So if you just are mindful of a separate step for sun protection daily, just like we brush our teeth, you know, there are parts of our routine that we don't skip.
Yeah.
And I don't want that to be one of them. It's one of the most critical for for really having beautiful skin as we progress through life. And nobody wants to talk about it. It's not very sexy. Everyone's like, yeah, SPF. But it really, if you can prevent it, then it's so much better than ever having to go back and correct it.
Yes, you're so right. That makes such sense. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think that's a really good point about making sure it is a separate step.
Yeah.
When I've done Instagram lives or I've done my makeup and I've done my skincare and then I'm like, right, I'm going to put this foundation on. And the amount of people who come in and say, where's your sunscreen?
Oh, that's good.
I feel really guilty because I think I'm not
good
sure.
Good job, listeners.
I'm not sure I actually put any sunscreen on. So then I have to quickly go and put some on. And vitamin C, it's important to mention. Then you talked about pollution as well. Mm-hmm. And that really is a big aggressor. That's something that we really need to be mindful of, right?
Yes. And it's so scary because the when they do like urban dust studies and look at these toxic Avengers and how tiny these particles are, they're like 20 times smaller than our pores. And I will give you another analogy. It's literally like throwing a nickel through a basketball hoop. That's how tiny the pores are. I mean, tiny the size of the particles are versus the pore. And so you can't see it. And it really easily settles into deeper layers of our skin because of the small particulate size. And then it can cause inflammation and free radical damage on a cellular level that we're not even aware of. And so if you have that shield and the antioxidants there, again, as a safety net, it's really helping to protect. Because even in highly, not necessarily sunny, but highly trafficked areas, patients who live closer to those areas have 20% more hyperpigmentation. So there's true damage that's occurring just by your environment that we're not even thinking about. And you can't see it. And it's not like getting a sunburn where you can tell that damage has occurred. You know, it's really kind of microscopic.
That's what freaks me out about some of the things that some of the topical ingredients that we have to use is we are using it in order to tackle something that is happening on an invisible level. That's what really freaks me out.
Yeah.
And it is kind of, it's investing in the future and you're just going, well, I hope this works, because you're not actually working on something that you can necessarily
see. It's not a problem you're actually trying to fix. You're just preventing it.
And in your practice, I'm really curious, is the majority of people who come through the door, are they coming to correct? And actually, should we be thinking about the things that we can do so that
we don't have to get to the correction? Absolutely. Most, especially in America, I mean, they wait, till it's broken to fix it in health of every kind. And so any physician in any specialty, I mean, think about all the things that we try to get people to do, eat healthily, is not for today, is for 30 years from now, and exercising and meditating and being mindful of total body health. And this is another way of protecting you for years to come.
If I've used vitamin C for a while and I've seen good results, my skin tone is more even and I feel like it looks brighter and fresher. If I stop using it, will it go back to what it was before?
You probably will still look better than had you never used it, because you will have prevented so much more damage than you would have otherwise. But certainly over time, you know, you will still start to accrue more damage.
And based on everything that you said, you're looking at me and listeners, the look in Dendy's eyes, don't stop using it.
Well, yes, that's right.
See how kind and gentle she is. I want you to look after my skin for the rest of my life. Right, now let's talk about, because I've just listened to you talk about a new particular type of vitamin C. And as I said at the top of the show, you are the consulting dermatologist for Elizabeth Arden, and you consult with them on skincare trends, the things that they need to be paying attention to. And vitamin C is not new in skincare, but one of the things that you've obviously worked with them on is bringing vitamin C to market in a way that is innovative and adds value. So what is the difference between this vitamin C and other vitamin Cs?
So Elizabeth Arden's vitamin C is really so different than what is available because of multiple reasons. One, it's encapsulated. So it's in the tiny little gold capsules that Elizabeth Arden has formulated years ago when they came out with the ceramides. And this helps to, it's oil soluble, like we talked about earlier. And so it's penetrated much deeper into the skin. It's 178 times more penetrated than traditional vitamin C that's water soluble.
Can I ask a question then? What I think might be a dumb question, but if it's oil soluble and you put it on the skin, it then, and it absorbs, and it's 178 times more absorbable, if that's a word, than if it was in a water-soluble formula. If you got a water-soluble vitamin C that wasn't absorbed, and because we know that it's volatile, or not volatile, but sensitive to light, would that not just go inert on the skin quite quickly?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Right.
So that's why we want it to be penetrated deep, more deeply. And we talked about earlier that it's a kind of finicky molecule, that as soon as you expose it to air, it's going to start oxidizing. And so we want it to get driven into the skin very readily and quickly so that it can behave and start to protect. And so the new capsules are formulated with ceramides, which we all start to lose as soon as we hit 30.
So remind us again, for the benefit of the listeners, what are the ceramides?
Yes.
What's their function in the skin?
So if we think about the skin as a brick wall, and the skin cells are the bricks, the ceramides are the mortar. So they help to tighten the junctions between the cells so that your skin, one, reflects light better, so it looks more luminous. It also maintains the barrier so that things don't get into the lower layers of the skin and sensitize us and irritate us when they wouldn't otherwise. And honestly, it helps your skin behave much more healthily because it's keeping the bad stuff out and it's keeping the water in. And so with this new formulation, the vitamin C is formulated with ceramides and also avocado oil and clary sage, which is a newer ingredient that's helpful. It's anti-inflammatory. It also helps. It's mildly astringent, so it helps to like exfoliate the skin, but in a gentle way. And you'll see so many benefits from the deeper absorption of the vitamin C. And some of the studies that I was quoting earlier about that immediate brightness are really great. And if we think about like encapsulation, if like if an apple with before you bite into it, think of that being encapsulated. And then if you take a bite and leave it on the counter, it's going to turn brown. That's oxidation. So when we have antioxidants, they're protecting. That's what vitamin C is doing, is keeping that browning, that oxidation process from occurring.
And I know Elizabeth Arden is famous for the capsules. I've used them for years. You came on previously and talked about the capsules that have the retinol in. So that's one type of capsule and encapsulation. But there is another type of encapsulation. I just want to, for clarity and just sort of my own education, understand the difference and what encapsulation means in formula, not in a physical capsule.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of tough, isn't it? One is in capsules, I-N, capsule, and this one, E-N, encapsulation, is when in formula you are basically taking the ingredient and having it not be active until it hits the skin, so it's better absorbed and it prevents that oxidative process that can occur. Because if we think about the way that antioxidants traditionally have been delivered, if they're in a jar or a dropper, when you open that up, it starts to become unstable. And each time you expose it to air or light, you're losing some of the potency. And that's why the Elizabeth Arden brand of being like in the capsules and encapsulated as well allows for better absorption into the skin and preserves the potency.
And it also just keeps things really simple as well, because you've got the monodose. So if you wanted to, you could use the ceramide in the morning, the vitamin C in the morning, use those in conjunction, and then use the retinol in the evening. And it's very labor, the opposite of labor intensive. It's just like,
it makes traveling so nice too. You just pop those in. Nobody's going to steal all your jars, you know, at TSA. You know, it's really nice.
I had that recently where I had a hand cream taken off me. It was that on my retinol. So I gave, was like, have the hand cream. I don't care. So yeah, so you have, that's the thing. It just makes it very simple, the mono dose as well. So you're not worrying about, am I using the right amount? It's the right amount for you.
And they are very, I mean, I love, what I love about the amount that is given is it's quite enough. It's face, neck, chest, and backs of hands. And so I feel like sometimes when we don't know, or we have a very special serum, you know, we're like dropping it out and worried about being wasteful or overusing. One, that takes the guesswork out of it. But two, there's ample amount to allow for other body parts to be covered. And quite honestly, I treat the face is from the forehead to the mid sternum. Like the neck and chest are not to be neglected.
Nipples up.
Right? Yes. Yeah. So that way, I mean, if you protect all here and everything looks great from the chin up and then your neck and chest, we show it all the time in clothes. Yeah. Like you're not fooling anyone. So it's good to keep, to have plenty of extra to kind of remind you that it should be going not only on your face.
That was going to be my question. How far down should you go? Should you use your skincare further down than just, as you say, your jawline? And the answer is
yes.
A resounding yes.
Yes.
Thank you so much. I really do feel like I've learned everything I need to know about vitamin C.
Well, I think you already knew it because you're very smart, but I'm happy to be here.
No, and I will be much more mindful of my SPF.
Thank you.
Because I will think of you morning when I think about potentially skipping it and just going straight to makeup. Dendi, it's always a delight to have you back. Come back anytime.
Thank you. I will. Thank you.
I hope that you enjoyed that conversation between Dendi and I. I always love chatting to her. She's the best. And then when the tape recorder stopped recording, we had a brilliant chat about reality TV, which I found very enlightening too. Anyway, let's talk about the 5 vitamin C products, topical skincare products that I think should be on your radar because they are definitely on mine. So let's start off with these Elizabeth Arden vitamin C ceramide capsules because I do believe that they are very exciting. So I already have a lot of time for the retinol capsules and the ceramide capsules from Elizabeth Arden. So for me, having a potent antioxidant in the same delivery system is really appealing. And as Dendi said, it really does make up one of the fundamental pillars of any skincare regime. So to basically have your ceramides, your retinol and your vitamin C is great as far as I'm concerned. It takes a lot of the thinking out of having to really cocktail anything. It's just those are the three that really work and they make skin feel great. So these capsules, like the others, come in a monodose with a twist off tag that gives you enough serum, certainly in my case, to cover my face, neck and décolleté. I would say the ceramide capsules are probably the runnier of the three. I always feel when I open one of those, there's so much in there, but it just means that it goes a really, really long way. So they are monodose, but they are generous monodoses. And one of the things all these capsules have in common is delivering potent skincare ingredients in a way that feels nice. So there's no tackiness, no stickiness. And I know that that can be a barrier for some people, because I think if you're used to using moisturizers or creams and you are moving into serum categories, you miss that feeling of quenching. But what's really nice about the formulations with all of the Elizabeth Arden capsules actually is that they are very silky and smooth on the skin, even though they are also then delivering, be it retinol or vitamin C in this case. I find them really easy to use. They're very easy to travel with. And it's just a very simple way to incorporate vitamin C into your skincare regime in order to build up your skin's own ability to repair itself and also improve things like skin tone and clarity. As I said, I've been using them religiously since I got them. I really, really like them. I've definitely noticed that my skin looks a bit brighter. My skin has been going through a bit of turbulence recently because I was using it at the same time as testing something else. So it has been slightly red and irritated in the day, but I don't believe that it has anything to do with this particular topical ingredient because my skin has calmed down and I'm still using this. I just really, really like them. And you can buy a month supply or 2 month supply depending on the size that you get. And I just think, as I said, it just makes it very, very easy. So the other one that I really like, and I when I think about it, I think this is probably the first ever dedicated vitamin C topical product that I ever started using. And it's the Superfacialist Vitamin C Plus Brighter Glow Boost Skin Serum. It's available on the high street. It's under £20 here in the UK. It feels really nice on the skin. It's a serum, but it's in a tube. It's more of a thin cream, I would say. And it probably has a lot to do with that feeling of being quite quenching. It probably has a lot to do with the fact that there's quite a high hyaluronic acid component in there. So it is very quenching. But when I first started using it, I felt that my skin looked brighter for using it. And I definitely, it was the only thing I changed at that point. We're probably talking about a year ago, maybe a little bit more. It was the only thing that was different in my skincare regime. And I was looking in the mirror thinking, oh yeah, no, something's definitely glowier. Just a subtle change, but still a change nonetheless. And as I said, it's on the high street. So as vitamin C serums go, it's relatively purse friendly. Another one that's really nice, and it's a different delivery system, so it's not a topical serum, are the Nip and Fab Vitamin C pads. So this, as I said, a different delivery system, and they take the form of pre-loaded pads that you can use morning and evening. So if you're not one for fussy layering, or you don't like massaging, or you don't want to put count out drops into the palm of your hand or anything, this could be quite a good choice, because you just use it on clean skin, use the pads as far as they'll go, and they are pretty generous. Use whatever else you're using over the top, whatever is in your AM and whatever is in your PM, and away you go. You've already incorporated vitamin C into the cocktail, which is rather nice. A gorgeous serum, actually, is the Ulla Henriksen Truth Serum. I just love the name, Truth Serum. And Ulla is a skin cosmetician, and UK-based listeners might remember that the brand actually left the UK for a short spell, but returned earlier this year in January to Boots. And this serum contains powerful vitamin C, but it's also got orange and green tea extract. So which just means that it's brightening and, again, more antioxidant benefit. And actually, if you like fragrance in your skincare, or if you don't mind fragrance in your skincare, then this actually smells really deliciously citrusy, just to hammer home the point that it does have vitamin C in it. But it's, again, it's another really nice one to use. And then finally, I do think another one that should be on your radar is the Pixi Vitamin C Serum. And the reason why I think this one should be on your radar is because it's another favorite, but it's a skincare tag team of vitamin C and ferulic acid. And ferulic acid is another highly potent antioxidant that's often paired with vitamin C in skincare, because it's such a powerful and effective combo. So if your concern is perhaps sun damage or mild pigmentation, if your skin tone is an issue, then this might be the vitamin C to look at first. This might be the one to think, okay, well, I know I've got my two very powerful antioxidants in there, so I'm going to give that a go. And it is a good one if you're starting with. You can obviously take a picture on day one, use it every day, and then take a picture and see how things are looking if you have specific concerns. And I think that's a good rule of thumb with any new skincare anyway, is take a picture, take a selfie in natural light, and try, and so you have a baseline, and then look at it 30 days later, or at the end of the bottle or tube or whatever it might be. So those are my five vitamin C's that I think should be on your radar. And I hope that Dr. Dendi Engelman's explanation of vitamin C within skincare was also really, really helpful. So I hope that overall you found this episode useful. And of course, all the links are in the show notes, which can be found wherever you have downloaded or streamed this episode. While you're there, please don't forget to subscribe. That way you'll never miss a show. And although I do publish on Wednesdays and Sundays, I'm not averse to occasionally popping a surprise episode into the schedule, like a pod a day in May. So if you subscribe, you'll never miss a notification. And if you do get the option while you're there, I would be so grateful if you could leave a 5-star review for the show. It does help a podcast like mine stand out on the massive podcast platforms that are out there. Thank you so much for listening. It's been a pleasure to have your company. Stay well, and I'll see you on the next one.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.